You know, it's interesting to see how like certain songs are made and they don't sound good in like the genre they were made in, but then someone else does the same song in a different genre and then it hits. I was watching a video of that, how there's a song that's very famous by Christian Nodal. And I thought that Christian Nodal had made that song because it's a really good song. But apparently he didn't make it. The song was made like 4 years before, but the person who originally made it in a different genre and it didn't hit. And then they someone else had used it and it didn't hit in that genre either. But then when he took it, it just hit. I was like, interesting. It's interesting how some songs take like 2 or 3 years to actually hit. But like people have to like do production or change it up. Like it's very interesting. Do you know about that, Maury?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, it's all about targeting like, the right audience, especially now in this age. It's like you got to look at who you're targeting and who your audience is and the type of music they listen to and all those.
But it's interesting how like just changing the production to the song.
That's what I'm saying. Like
makes it a whole different of the song, and then bam, it pops.
That matters a lot actually, because it's very dependent on again your demographic is huge. If it's if you release a song and it's not doing too well, it's either a couple of things. Either your song just sucks. Uh-huh. Let's put it that way.
Well,
or it's just that like you're not that it sucks. It's just not to the you're not targeting the right demographic.
Because like the one
especially
that
now in the social media age, it's like you know you're putting a song out there and all that stuff. You need to really look at who you're going after and whatnot. And if you're gonna promote, like again, you're gonna spend money on that.
That song that I was telling you by Christian Nodal, that song the lyrics are the same. All three times that it was released, because his was the third release. But, like, lyrics are the same. What changed was literally the production of the genre.
Yeah, and sometimes...
So, like, when it first came out, it was like a soft alternate rock. And then after, they made it into more like a pop. And those two times, it didn't work.
Yeah.
But then when he did it with, like, I don't know what you would call his genre, banda, norteño, like, whatever it may be. But when he hit it, like, boom, that song became one of the most famous songs.
Yeah.
That when you hear that song, most people know it.
And he didn't release the first two versions.
No.
So that's another thing, again,
that
too.
That song belonged to someone else.
He's also, again, his demographic and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
And a lot of that happens in a lot of, I guess you could say, it happens a lot in the sense that people will write songs, but they can't really perform them or sing them the way that you know they wish to. So that's why there's songwriters, and then there's you know there's singers, producers. There's a lot of moving pieces that when it comes to it all. You know what I mean?
And then the other thing I found,
the person that wrote that song, at the end of the day, most likely is the one still getting a lot of,
still gonna get some money.
You know what I mean? And it goes a long way having that credit.
Or the interesting thing that I found interesting was translating it in language, where I've seen that certain songs in English didn't hit as well, but then they translate it into Spanish and they sing it in Spanish and boom, it blows up.
Yeah.
You know, but the song was originally made in English. It's just Spanish speaking people might not know that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know? Yeah, and they think, oh, this is a new song, but actually no, this song was done years ago. It was just translated.
Yeah, exactly.
And I've seen that as well, where it's like, whoa. Like, it's crazy how certain some songs, like, they might be gold, but they're probably, like, either too ahead of their time, or it just needs to be, you know, go through another post-production.
I think shows can be the same way, in the sense that, you know, you have a show on whatever Netflix or whatever streaming service you want to put out there, and in a certain country, it might not do so well. Like, maybe here in the United States, it's not a great movie because maybe it's too gory. I don't know. Something about the movie just doesn't connect with the people here. But you talk about that movie in Europe or in Latin America and it's like a booming movie. And sometimes that happens a lot where I'll see things on social media where other shows or other movies are trending that are on these streaming services. And since they're streaming like that, I mean, since they're trending out there, people will be like, oh, these shows are trending, you know, in these locations, and then they're recommending to you here. And then sometimes, again, they'll hit here, based off of the success of another location and the hype that it generated, or it'll just be like people are like, people, what's the noise about this? Why is it so important? You know?
Yeah.
So I think it works that way with a lot of things, and social media.
For example, on a show called, because I watched a movie on it. It was like a small documentary they made for La Casa de Papel.
Mm-hmm.
So that show was made in Spain, and I gotta admit, first season was really good, really solid. So they did the first season, in English they call it the House of Paper, which doesn't translate properly.
At all.
Because in Spanish, what it's trying to say, it's they're talking. So the show is about a heist, but it's not like your typical heist where you're doing a heist in a bank. The heist is basically they're robbing the house that prints the euros.
Yeah.
That's what the show is about.
It's like Den of Thieves.
Yeah.
You ever seen that movie?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So the series, right, they were only able to air one season in Spain. It didn't do so well. It aired at a bad time. It did horrible. And this is where Netflix comes along. Netflix picks it up and just airs it. So then they air it and then it blows up. The show blows up to where now everybody, you know, is into it. All these countries, everybody. It became really famous here in the U.S. A lot of people started wearing the Dalí mask because of that show.
Yeah.
They started singing the Bella Ciao because it's the theme song of the show. It's like it's a prominent song within the show.
Yeah.
So you see all these things, components that come together, and then bam, it blows up.
Yeah.
And then you're like, whoa. So it's like, yeah, it wasn't good for the people of Spain, but then the rest of the world saw it, and then it was like, oh, yeah, this is a good show.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, music, shows, movies, all that, it all plays together in that aspect. And, you know, your demographic will play a big part. And you know, your true demographic is what's going to kind of generate, is what's going to generate that hype.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this artist that you're talking about, I've heard more and more about him based off of the people that listen to that type of music.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not hearing it from someone that likes more reggaeton. I'm hearing it from people that are Mexican and like banda. Is that banda type
music? I think it's banda, but you know, I might be getting it wrong.
They have that type of music. Yeah. They like that type of stuff, you know?
The reason I like them is because he's more modern. He's not your traditional banda guy.
Yeah.
He's more like a modern feel when I listen to him.
What was his name again?
Cristian Nodal.
Okay. Shout out to Diana. She's the one that showed me about. Yeah. She's the one that showed me that artist.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't heard about him before, but she likes that type of music and she showed me that one.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Type of stuff. And I honestly, the same thing. I'm not that into that type of music, but his
music. Yes. Hits. Yes. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. I am not into that type of genre, but when I listen to his, because I've listened to his albums.
I have them in my playlist, bro.
I've listened to his albums.
My Depre playlist has some of his stuff.
Bro, I remember, when I was going through my breakup and I found the song Probablemente.
Mm-hmm.
Bro. Like, that song, bro, it's one of his most famous songs, but that song, like, makes you, like, want to be, like, maybe there's a chance, or maybe everything I'm doing is in vain.
Byron, have you heard of this artist?
No, I haven't. No, I have not.
Pretty good artist. I would suggest you check out a song or two. You know what I mean? It might not be your feng shui at first, but it has its.
But I feel
I know that right now, Byron, you've been very open to like other genres of music. You know what I mean? Like a little more oldies and stuff. But I mean, you know, on your venture right now, you know. Pop in some of that this artist and you know Cristian Roldan.
No.
My bad.
No.
I totally
butchered his whole name.
Go for it.
Cristian Roldan.
Yeah. Completely butchered.
And I
knew it before it left my mouth. But I said, screw it.
And now in my head I was like, he's talking about a reggaeton artist. But all right, let me fix it for you. Because Roldan is a reggaeton artist.
I'm telling you, bro. And I was like, I said it confidently, but also knowing that it was wrong, bro.
Yeah,
it's okay.
I was like, all right, bro.
Oh man.
Recommending a reggaeton artist, got it.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
Nah, but I feel like he gives a modern feel. Like, it's not your traditional. Like, it is keeping part of the traditional, but it's a very modern feel when you hear it.
And what do you think about, I mean, like, all right, we have these type of music where it's like, it's talking about breakup and all this stuff. Yeah. And then we also have music. We have a lot of artists that do this type of stuff, right? Uh-huh. And there's two artists in particular right now that are very hot, mm-hmm. but that have music that has a lot to do with their exes and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes when it's like, especially your relationship is public, and mm-hmm. then you make a song about it, about that relationship and all that, it's like, it comes off as like you're talking about, you're not over the situation or whatnot.
Yeah.
And then you listen to this guy's music and it's like, you don't get that vibe. Mm. And those artists that I'm talking about are Karol G and Shakira. Shakira. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I love Shakira's song, by the way.
Here's the thing that I heard, and I could be wrong, but this is what I've heard, is Shakira has been doing a song, but it's her whole thing is that in every song she's doing the stages of grief. So you know how there's 7 stages to grief, right? So every song that she's been releasing talks about a different stage of grief as she's going through the grief.
Yeah.
So who knows, like, if she actually, because they've shown evidence of how, like, she's talked about each stage so far up to now. So if she does end up releasing 7 tracks about this whole situation, there you go. She did it based on the, you know, the grieving stages.
Yeah. And I'm coming from the...
For me, that's just artistic.
Definitely. Yeah. I totally feel that aspect. Yeah. You know what I mean? But obviously you have criticisms like, you know, Twitter fans, all this type of mm-hmm. stuff where it's like, you know, you're not over it. This is mm-hmm. and that and whatnot. Like when this Shakira song came out, the one with Bizarrap. Okay. I remember where I had heard the song.
That one was huge because she named her ex in that one.
You know what I mean? Exactly.
That one was a diss.
Yeah.
So compared to the Karol G one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So Karol G's is the 7 stages of grief?
No. Shakira is the 7 okay. stages of grief.
So,
well, that but song, I'm just saying that compared to the mm-hmm. song she just recently did with Karol G, with that song doesn't really do that, you know. Like this one that she did with Bizarrap, she literally was out there like saying things.
Yeah, you know what I mean. So like, that song in particular, you know, it comes out and I listen to it and it's like, all right, I mess with the whole thing. You know what I mean? It's a good song. You know what I mean? Regardless of what's going on, the production that Bizarrap
did, amazing.
You know what's going on, besides all that stuff that's going on. But then my dad's take is on like she was like, why is she lowering herself? In the sense of like she's a lot bigger than Piqué.
Yeah.
Why is she like bringing herself down in that aspect of it into like naming him and all that type mm-hmm. of stuff? And I went on the route that is like, you know, it is an artistic aspect, but at the same time, it's like you did go and name this person. Mm-hmm. So it's like it's a deeper thing at that point, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, you have all that stuff. And I guess that's the difference between, you know, a song where you're just talking about a past love or type of stuff. And then,
well, it's ambiguous. Like you could hear the song and think, oh, it could be about that. But it's still ambiguous enough that you can relate it to yourself. That song that you're talking about she did with Bizarrap, you can't listen to that song and be like, I can relate to this.
You can't?
You can, but at the same time, it's very difficult because you know she's naming her ex.
Okay, look. But you can relate to, though?
To a certain extent.
Look. You can't, exactly. You can't relate to the fact that, oh, yeah, like, you know, she was dating a soccer player and all this stuff. All that stuff. No. But you can relate to the fact that you're like, oh, and especially a lot of people, you know, you can feel sour about your past relationship mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And so it's like, you're going to definitely feel that. You know, you're going to feel that song to another degree and whatnot. So, you know, you have that whole dynamic right there, you know. So it's just interesting how that goes, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people have made successful careers off of making songs about their ex.
Yeah.
An example, Adele, which got sued by her ex.
Yeah.
Which he was like, you know, this music is about me. deserve. Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Anyone. But it's because she earns more money. Yeah.
That's crazy though, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
She literally, I think she made him a millionaire, if I'm not mistaken. Because he took all her money. Like,
Like, you know what I mean? And that's a whole other separate conversation, but at the same time, it's like...
Well, I don't know if she's still with that guy. With Rich Paul? Rich Paul.
I'm not sure. I think she still is. Because, what was it recently? I think it was the Grammys.
Uh-huh.
Where I saw a video backstage where where they're together, but she's talking to, I want to say, I think it was Busta Rhymes.
Uh-huh.
And Busta Rhymes talking to her, and then you could tell Rich Paul he's starting to look impatient, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking impatient, and then the whole thing on Twitter was like, Busta Rhymes over here giving him I don't know exactly how they said it, but he put his hand on his shoulder while he was still talking. He didn't even look over him, bro. Just put his hand on his shoulder while he's still talking to Adele, where it's kind of like, call me nuts, buddy. I'm just talking to her real quick, you know what I mean? Like,
trying to do nothing.
Giving her her flowers, and that's it, you know what I mean? Because that's exactly what it looked like, you know? So that whole dynamic went down there, you know what I mean? So it's possible. I think they started together, you know what I mean? But, you know, you can have those type of things where, you know, all this music is made and all this type of stuff. Like, for example, this other artist that I don't know. I like her music, mm-hmm. but I feel some type of way about her.
Mm.
Ariana Grande.
Okay.
I like, I would say more a certain amount of her tracks. I saw one of her performances one time. I think it was like when she was doing her European tour. Her production is wild, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Something I'd like to go see just because, again, I'm more into like seeing that production, and her music is cool and whatnot, all that stuff. So, but like a lot of her music, you can say has to do with like past relationships and all that stuff. And then like the Mac Miller effect always messes with me. You know what I mean? So those things too, where I'm like, man, like the way that went down and all that, and I'm like, jeez, bro. Like, in a sense, how that could take a toll so hard on an artist and just a human being in general, bro.
Because now you listen to the songs and it's a different meaning.
Yeah. And even Mac Miller's last album, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of those songs, too, it's like, man, dude was going through certain things, you know what I mean? All that type of stuff. So it's like all these type of things that happen, and then the way that just gets generated into music, and then we consume those things, and it's like...
And see, that's the thing that I like. I like this definition of Nipsey, where he talks about how, like, you cannot say that music is not spiritual, because you're grabbing onto emotions and you're bringing ideas from somewhere and then speaking them, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, whatever the emotions of the artist are, whatever they were going through, whatever, those emotions are recorded.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy.
And when you're listening to that, you are relating. Your emotions are connecting to their emotions.
It's crazy you say this right now.
And it's amplifying those emotions even more.
We're going to talk about this more in Sports Wave. But, Byron, you think that John Morant's listening to a lot of Klieg Lock right now?
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to say you impersonate, but you almost take on that persona that the music is putting out there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have someone like John Morant out there acting wild and type of stuff, and it's...
Well, I see, you know, what you did there. It's because he's from Memphis, huh? And then Keith Glock is from Memphis.
Took another connection.
I took it as more like how what they be talking about in that music, and this guy's over here, you know, flashing guns, you know what I mean? And you know, the psychological aspect of music is crazy, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that people, like, that the music industry, the higher ups, they've exploited that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it started...
Well, because you're listening to ideas, and you're listening to those ideas in a repetitive manner. And when you're listening to those ideas in a repetitive manner, eventually they're going to influence you, right?
You know, it's funny. I like we love comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Chappelle, one of my favorite comedians, and on the Chappelle Show, there's a skit that he has with John Mayer, where he tries to show the different effects that music has on people, bro. I don't know if you've seen that one before.
Yeah.
Bro, it's funny because he's like, let's see what rock music does to these white people while they're having lunch. You know what I mean? And it's like they start playing and they just start going crazy, bro. And it's like he goes through, and it's like, you know, he has the racial aspect and all that stuff. You know, that's the funny part, you could say. I'm not saying that they're being racist is funny. I'm not saying that.
More stereotypical.
I'm not saying that, sir, at all. But what I'm trying to say is that The effect that music has on the people, it'll have you acting a certain type of ways. You know, you go to the 70s and you look at all the music that's coming out there, you know,
And it's like, you're going to tell me, like, right now you were talking about Key Lock. It's like, bro, you're going to tell me that when you don't listen to rap music, you don't feel hard. You don't feel like you're from the hood. In that moment.
I mean, bro.
When you're listening to that type of music.
I was driving over here, and I'm on the 405, and I'm, like, whipping it all hard, especially in the truck, bro. So I'm like, hell yeah, I feel hard, bro. What you mean?
You know you're not from there.
I don't even remember what I was listening to, but I would feel hard, bro.
You know you're not from there. You know that's not your life. You know that you're not hood. But it's like you listen to that, and because you're like, ah, like it just makes you feel hard.
You know, but again, you just go back and you look at age, you know, how music has been, especially when we bring it back to like the 70s and how, you know, drug use was heavy in there, and how a lot of that stuff was happening.
I mean, Beatles were singing of a yellow submarine, bro.
Yeah, you know that. You have Nirvana talking about that stuff. You know, Pink Floyd, all these artists. Yeah. You know, and then you go into even when you start talking about like artists like Ozzy Osbourne and the stuff they're talking about, mm-hmm. how people got more into, you know, you could say like the demonic side of stuff, mm-hmm. and because of that. And you go into the 90s with, you could say, the gangster rap, or and how Johnny, literally there's also evidence right now, you could say, of the music industry using that to kind of brainwash and control people during the 90s and all that type of stuff. You know,
like there's a song I remember when I used to be, this is my dark time, you know, when I went through my depression. There's a song by Johnny Cash. When you listen to that, it makes you even feel more. Like, where he starts off, I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. And then he's like, I focused on the pain. It's the only thing that's real. And you're like, yes!
Yeah.
You're so sad that you're hearing those lyrics. And it's just, all right, let's emerge more further down into it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that's where it's, like, very powerful. There's certain, like, lyrics where you're like, dude, like, man, this is very, very crazy.
And not even just lyrics, bro. Frequencies.
Yes.
That have people in a certain aspect.
What's his name? Residente talks about that. He, in an interview, I heard him talk about that, how, like, we don't understand that there are certain pitch noises and certain frequencies that can make us act a certain way or activate.
Feel a certain type of way.
Yeah, or activate like certain wavelengths within our mind, like brain waves, when you hear those frequencies. And I was like, dude, that's mm-hmm. interesting. Like,
yeah.
Because he said that he went, I forgot what country he went to study that. He went to study that and understand like that stuff to make his music better.
Yeah, and all those things play a big factor into it, man. And like you said, also the lyrics and all that type of stuff. There was, I think, me, you, and Enzo were talking about it in the group chat one time, where there's this song by Doja Cat with The Weeknd, where the beat and everything, bro, amazing song, bro. Yeah. Amazing song, but let me find these lyrics, bro, to that song.
I remember we're saying some wild
and
lyrics.
Just so that, yeah, bro, just so that we can you can put this into context as far as like how you hear a dope beat,
yeah,
and that'll just hook you, bro.
Yeah,
the frequency will hook you, bro.
Yeah,
and then after that, the lyrics just take you to another.
That happens,
especially because you'll just start. Yeah, after you listen
start
to
vibing,
it,
you start vibing.
You start vibing. Yeah. You start listening after certain times. You said after repetition, you learn the lyric and you just start singing. Hold up, let me get to that.
Because that's happened to me before. Where like, for example,
the song is called "You Right." By the way,
when I listen to an album, like the first time I listened to an album, I honestly never like do a run through.
Yeah.
I literally listen to like the first 15 seconds of each song and see which beat I like.
Yes.
And then after I've done my run through of like, all right, I like this beat. And then I'll be like, all right, let's play the one that I like for that beat. And then I'll be listening to that
That's
one.
That's an interesting way
and
of doing it.
And then eventually I, feel like I start venturing out to the other ones. You
I
know?
Feel like I do that subconsciously, but I know what you mean. I did that with Kali Uchis, and we'll get there right in a moment. So with this song, You Right. Again, Doja Cat and The Weeknd. And again, as soon as you hear the song, the first I'm like, groovy, just everything I'm like hitting, you know what I mean? But once she starts singing, this is the first thing she says, bro. I got a man, but I want you. I got a man, but I want you. It's just nerves. It's just dick making me think about someone new. And I was like, Bro!
That's a subconscious idea right there.
Bro! Bro! You know what I thought about, bro? Yeah. This is what I thought about. Right. I thought about you're in a situation where you're in a relationship, right?
Yeah.
Your relationship with someone probably for some time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got something what we like to call a work husband.
Mm. Okay.
And then I think about that lyric. I got a man, but I want you.
Mm-hmm.
I got a man, but I want you. It's just nerves. It's just dick making me think about someone new. And I'm like, dang, is that how it works?
It's the idea, right?
You know what I mean?
It's like you can be listening to that song, but you don't know if that idea automatically clicks. And he's like, imagine the girl is on that day, right? She's probably thinking about the dude that she wants to smash. And she listens to that song. And then it's like,
it gives power to the thought, in
right?
a sense, bro.
Yes, yes. And it amplifies it.
It's like,
it.
I didn't say it, but it said.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's giving power to that
yeah,
thought, bro.
And it's like, well, it could happen.
Byron, what'd you think when you heard that lyric?
That sounds like an affair, man.
Sounds like an affair.
You know what I mean?
That's wild.
So
there is another.
And don't get me
one.
Wrong. Look, again. I want to put this back, bring yeah. this back in a bit because I don't want to just bring it out like, oh, females is the only one saying
nah, bro.
This.
There's a song by Plan B back in the day, where they say this lyric: "Ojos que no ven, corazón que no sienten." And like that's a very popular song, bro. He's literally talking about. I cheat on my girl, but eyes don't see, the heart don't feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bro. And but like this one, the way that it just puts it
yeah,
out there,
bro.
It's just nerves. It's just
yeah,
dick
more, yeah,
making me think about someone
yeah.
new. And I'm like, geez, bro. And it's like those type of stuff. And it's like, trust me, even when I think about, for example, another popular artist, Bad Bunny.
I had all relationships on that one.
But at the same time, I really try to think about a lot of things, and I try to think about what is it that makes girls really love this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because in a sense, I don't want to sound like a hater at all. I like Bad Bunny myself, as far as the music and stuff all that. But it's like, all right, I've seen, you could say in a sense, better looking men, no homo.
Yeah.
And all this stuff and especially within that genre and all that stuff. So I'm like, it makes me think, I'm like, what is it about this guy?
Let's just take one, Maluma. Maluma's exactly. a way better looking dude than him.
You know what I mean? And like, so I just think about all this stuff and I'm like, what is it that really drives girls crazy about this guy?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about him that separates him from everybody else in that genre?
His voice.
No.
No.
You know what it is? That I've came down to a conclusion to.
What's your conclusion to
his
it?
Style?
Yes, but the specific thing is that he does whatever he wants with, he crosses boundaries, does whatever, especially as of lately, does whatever he wants, crosses boundaries without apology, basically.
He's apologetically himself.
Exactly.
And that's someone who has an identity, right?
You know, and but it's like, what again, what is, and especially then I related back to his music, and especially one of his most popular songs, which, you know, one of his most popular songs, it's funny because all the money that it generates, it goes to Missy Elliott.
Correct.
And it's like, what is that song talking about as well? And what do girls go crazy about, especially with always also reggaeton music?
Mm-hmm.
Perreando, all this stuff, and it's that genre and Bad Bunny more now that he came and he took it to another level, you could say. It allows, you could say, the females to want to be themselves, not be themselves, but just act out without apology.
No, the Missy Elliott one that you're talking about is the other one. Is the
But you get what I'm saying with,
yes.
with you get what I'm saying with the whole like
yes.
the aspect of just
yes,
the music
yes, yes, yes.
and the effect that the frequency gives you
yeah.
and then the lyrics.
No, and I said that his first album, like, it's not that popping, bro. His first album is depressing as
hell. I love that first album though,
I love
more
that.
Than like almost the other ones, bro.
I love that first album too, bro. I mean, I fell in love with him with that one, but that first album, there's not like a lot of, I think Mia's probably the only one, and maybe 200. Mia's is probably like the only one that's like really like very, very like happy. Everything else is pretty sad on that album.
Yeah.
Pero Yo Hago Lo Que Me Da La Gana is literally like the best one.
As far as like
the Missy Elliott one is the Safaera one.
Mm-hmm. And but I that's think a it, very bro.
But I think you're talking. Song, I think you're talking more of Yo Perreo Sola. Cause that's a liberating song for women,
no doubt. But Safaera, especially when he played that song,
mm-hmm.
when we went to the
oh yeah, yeah,
that song, bro. People went
girls went wild
for that one, bro. And then like facts. So I take everything about that song to me is the most reggaeton song that guy has.
Well, yeah, he's doing it with Joely Randy.
It's the most so it's like
yeah, you take and it, that and it's different lyrics. Generations of reggaeton that he does in that same song. And that's why, because it's almost like three songs mm-hmm. etched together through that whole entire song.
Yeah, and I don't know, is that the same song? Is that the same song where his famous line comes out in or no?
Yep. Which,
Sin tu novio no te mames.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Safaera. Yeah. Or he says, agárralo como bonga y esconde.
Bro! I'm telling you, dog. I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
Mami, que tú quieres.
Aquí go tiburón. Safaera, too. That's what I said. It's like three songs put together in one.
Yeah, and it's like, that song, bro, you play that song, it's over, bro.
Yeah.
It's over, dude. Yeah. You're going to see how a girl really, what she really is that day, bro. I'm sorry, dog. I'm sorry.
Let's see how much of a freak you are. That's going to be the test on the first date now. Let me play this. I got to see.
Okay, but obviously if you're driving in the car, you're not going to get the same reaction if like, okay, you've been out, you had a couple drinks or something. You play that song, bro, and you're going to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And yeah, bro, it's the effect that music has on people, bro. Like, and trust me, bro, I've been through certain things. And when I say things, I've been through certain breakups. Because we're talking about all this, you know, the feelings and emotions. That I couldn't listen to certain artists, bro.
Oh, definitely.
I couldn't. I remember there was one breakup that I couldn't listen to The Weeknd for the longest, bro.
Mm-hmm.
The Weeknd. And then at some point, that obviously went away. Yeah, you know what I mean? You know, and
for me, that Maluma, I couldn't listen to Maluma for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I had to step away from it because I actually liked him.
Yeah,
before my breakup, I liked Maluma.
The most recent,
but then after that, I was like, I can't listen to that.
For me, the most recent one, I stayed away from Bad Bunny. And I remember you told me, he's like, bro, don't listen to none of that shit.
Oh yeah, definitely.
I stayed away from all.
But the reason I told you to stay away from it is because it's very depressing.
Yeah,
like his music is very depressing.
A lot of that. Because
I remember when I was going through mine. Dude, like it was when his first album released, you know,
and it's funny, I didn't dive deep into that album until the latest breakup, but I took like that, 6 months until I started really listening to that type of music.
He released that album December,
and I was like, bro, I need this.
December of 2018, he released that album. And then my breakup happened in February of 2019. And I remember that. Dude, like, I had been listening to that album, but I would listen to the happy songs of that album. I would listen to 200 Mías, to Mía, to La Romana, and then what's that other one here?
Noche in Miami.
No, that's sad. Otra Noche in Miami is sad to me. Hell no.
Mm.
I wasn't listening to that yet. There's another one that he has that I'm forgetting, dude, where he's like, si quieres, yo te voy para Singapur. Damn, why am I forgetting the name right now?
Singapur.
Yeah, because he says it like that.
Ni bien ni mal is not a bad song, though.
Let me see.
Carro. That one's a
yo
good
me
song.
Visto caro, ser bichote. Cuando perreabas. That's the song I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
I used to listen to those songs more. And then after that, bro, when my breakup hit, bro, I started listening to all the other sad songs, bro. And they started hitting differently.
Yep.
Like, I would just be on repeat, bro. And like, Otra Noche in Miami, I'd be on repeat.
Bro, I think there's as of the last couple of years, Apple Music gives you, you know, at the end of the year, how much you listen to.
Yeah, how many you listen to.
Bro, in the last 2 years, bro, Bad Bunny has hit up there. Him, The Weeknd, Drake, I forget who else. But those three artists, but and I know the songs that I'm listening to of those.
Oh yeah, they're on repeat.
Are on repeat, but a lot of them are like the more deeper songs and all that type of stuff, bro. It's something else, man. Music is a wild thing, you know, in the sense that it'll make you feel some type of way. It'll take you back to a certain time, you know what I mean? It'll make you feel a certain emotions that, you know, only those certain songs. That's why, for example, Bad Bunny, La Canción is a perfect, you know,
example of that. La Canción came after, though. Uh-huh. See, that's for me, nah, for if you want to talk about Oasis, and I showed you that song, no, but, is Odio.
Yeah, that was wild. No, but La Canción
is just... Because a lot of people like La Canción. I'm like, nah, no, you guys got to listen to Odio.
Definitely, bro. But La Canción is just... Yeah, it's basically encapsulating what we're talking about.
That,
you know, you play that song moment, and it's like, oh, I didn't think I'd think about you.
Because he talks about... Song. Yeah, they play the song and
you know what I mean?
Oh, Un Peso. Like, there's a lot of them. Un Peso is another one. Because I like that rock guy they have in the end and what he says. That's a good one, too.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, bro, how all these, you know, what you listen to can influence your decisions.
Yes.
Influence the way you feel, as we're talking about. Think. All that stuff, you know what I mean? So
I've been on kind of a... I haven't been listening to him literally since we went to his concert.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on a like diet from him.
Yeah.
Like listening diet.
I listened to him a bit when I was out in El Salvador.
Yeah.
But besides that, like I have also been...
I've been on a diet from him. Like I have,
more
I
entering the year for me though.
Like for me, like I've been listening to a lot of Drake lately.
Mm-hmm.
I've been listening to a lot of Drake. I've been listening... Even reggaeton, I've kind of stepped away from it. I'm like, just take a break. Because it's like, it's a genre that I mainly love and I like, but I just felt like I need a break from this.
Yeah.
Because at one point, all songs start eventually becoming the same. That's why I like more like, if I do try to listen to it, I'll probably listen to Eladio or Mike Towers. Because one thing I like about those guys is they'll talk about breakups and stuff like that. They got bars. They have songs that have nothing to do with that. And I'm like, sometimes I don't want to know about relationships. I just need a song. You listen to a lot of he has songs that are just about other stuff. Like, for example, when we listen Carta a Dios, and I remember you liked that song.
Yeah.
The Letter to God. Like, that's such a great song. Like, just... to listen to meditate, you're like, okay, like, what is he saying? What is he talking about?
It's facts.
Yeah.
It's facts. What about you, Byron? What have you been listening to lately?
Lately, man. Damn, a lot of stuff. Specifically?
What's an artist, bro?
Damn, bro. Mauricio said it earlier.
That many, bro?
Some old school artists.
What's old school? What genre?
Like
rap, hip hop,
Elton John,
pop. Oh, Elton John.
He's listening to some other type of movie, bro. He's really, that's what I'm saying right now. Your journey,
some
bro.
Nazareth.
Wow.
Some Air Supply.
Dang, he's going back.
Eagles. But that's mostly because of the office work.
Interesting. You know?
And I feel it, bro. When you're especially like in the environment where you're working at work, at an office type of thing, you need a break rhythm in a sense. Listening to the same artist all the time,
bro, you can burn out really quick on music if you do that, bro.
I even like the song from Harry Styles.
Which one, bro? You're about to get fans, bro. Which one? Tell us which one.
The recent one, bro. What's it called?
Watermelon Sugar High?
Nah, it's called...
I was about to say, damn, bro. You like that cocaine, bro.
When he's like, you know, we're not just the same as it was. As it was.
All right, you have to play it afterwards.
Yeah, you know, he's sang it properly.
Bro, I've never heard this song, bro.
As it was.
I'll be honest with you.
It's a recent one.
You guys are going to call me crazy, but
crazy.
I've given Taylor Swift a little bit of a shot, and her latest album at least.
It's been a while since I listened. I've always liked Lana Del Rey more than her.
I feel you.
But Lana, she's been out of the game.
I feel like she fell off.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in that aspect of stuff, you know, music is just I don't want to say a revolving door, but it's...
I mean, it can be repetitive in some sort of sense. I mean...
It just depends, again, on where the direction you take it. What I like right now also about, you know, streaming services for music, you can explore a lot of music because of it.
Yes.
You know, it'll suggest playlists to you.
I would say that Apple has improved a lot compared to when I first started. Yeah. Because my complaints to you, I remember, because you're the one that convinced me to go to Apple instead of staying with Spotify. Because I remember I used to pay for Spotify.
Yeah.
And I was a Spotify, I think, 4 years before Spotify. I switched over. And what I liked about, Spotify is more than just music. Because they have, like, speeches, they have languages, they have a bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I liked about them was they have a lot. You can tell, like, their system is so advanced in the sense that, like, for example, you could tell them, like, I don't like this song. And they'll give you a pop-up and ask you, do you not like this song or not like this artist?
Yeah.
And then as soon as you say, I don't like this artist, you'll never see that artist be recommended to you ever again.
Yeah. And I try to avoid, go away from that because it's... Just because there's that song I might not like from that artist, but that might be something else that I might.
But they give you the option, though. They give you that option. If you want to just do that song specifically, they'll never play that song for you, but they'll keep the artist for you.
Yeah.
So it's like a very custom profile that they make for you.
In-depth with it.
Which Apple wasn't there yet, like a few years ago when I transitioned over. Because I've been with Apple, I think I want to say already 4 years. I want to say already.
Four years?
Yeah,
years. I heard 40. Yeah. I was tripping.
Nah.
I was like, damn, bro. You've been on it for a while, bro.
So, yeah, I've been on Apple Music for about 4 years. And that's where I'm like, damn, like, it's crazy how much it's advanced and it's become better than what it was when I first joined. Because when I first joined, man, it was bad. It, like, the suggestions, all that stuff, I was like, nah, you guys ain't there yet. but now they're starting to get there, too.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that.
And that they started the end of the year to try to compete with Spotify. Because Spotify Spotify's been doing that end of the year for the longest.
Yeah.
The other thing that Apple's probably going to have to do, which I'm pretty sure they will, is when they make you feel special. Spotify does this thing that if you listen to an artist enough, you get like a custom letter, supposedly, from the artist that you love. And it's like a gratitude letter.
Like, I wonder if they still do that.
Like they send you an email and it has a picture of the artist that you've been listening to, that you've been listening to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, this is a letter of appreciation from this artist because you listened to them.
Yeah.
And then here are upcoming dates for them if you want to go watch them live.
Mm. Oh, I've seen that. Yeah. I've seen that where it tells you when they're in the area type of shit.
But Apple still hasn't gotten there in that yet.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm pretty sure they'll end up doing something like that.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes.
They'll probably mix it with Ticketmaster. Mm-hmm. If they really want to step up their game. Like, if you could, I'm pretty sure eventually it's going to get like that where it's like, how do you market a concert even more? And it would be mixing the ticket sellers with the actual streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
Because the streaming services will actually know, well, this person listens to this person so many times. Why don't you just recommend them tickets?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and Apple's like Instagram. They're a little behind, but they're right there. You know what I'm saying?
Hmm.